Blog Talk Radio.
Given us numerous chances to do right, to be right, and to know that there is only one God. Hallelujah. And all I can do is say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have to have that Psalms 118:24 in our spirit. This is a day that the Lord has made. Hallelujah. We will rejoice and be glad in it. For God has given us a new day. He's given us another opportunity to do right, to be right, to do better than we did yesterday. I give God honor, glory, and praise this morning, for there is no God like our God. Hallelujah, and thank you, Jesus. Father God, we come this morning with humble hearts, Lord God, giving ourselves away, Lord, for you to use us, each and every one of us, Lord, today. Use the listeners, use your host, oh God. Use me. And Lord, I ask you to increase in me as I decrease. For Lord God, you are my strength and my redeemer. I give myself away today, oh God. Use me for the betterment of your kingdom. Let the words of my humble mouth and my humble heart be acceptable in your sight. For Lord God, I am nothing without your strength. I am nothing without your redemption. So, Father God, as we move forward today, I ask you, Lord God, to guide me, to lead me, and to give me the words to say. Remove all flesh, Lord God, and replace it with you. In Jesus' name, we rebuke all spirits, all forms of attack, of those that are listening live and those that are listening later. Lord God, we send all those attacks back from whence they came, that those that would send out evil to your people will receive what they receive, will get what they receive, what they give. But Lord God, we want to give love, more love. We want to give peace and joy. We want to give the fruits of the Spirit, Lord God, as you have given them to us. We ask you, Father God, to guide us, lead us, and show us the way that we stay on the right path, that we stay in the right squares, that we do the assignments that you have called us to do, and that we do them in excellence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who truly is the source of my strength and my Redeemer. I am grateful. As always, I say every morning, I am thankful, grateful, and blessed to be a child of the Most High God, to know that even in my mess, that he has given me a message, that he has given me hope in a future, that he has given me everything I need and more than I could ever ask for. Because why? He is Father God. and he loves me. So thanking God for his grace, for his mercy, for his goodness, and for his kindness for me and all of you. But know that the enemy can only do what the Father allows him to do. So don't get tired. Don't get weary in well-doing, because in due season, you will reap if faint not. Let God guide you and lead you. And don't worry about what he said, she said, they said, woo-woo said. Do what God tells you to do, and it will be well with you. Hallelujah. As we are getting ready to go into our word this morning, God just put on my heart to just share. One, I have a little book, and it says 199 Promises of God. And the Lord just put on my heart to share a word with you. And it's a Psalm word, and it says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and you shall bring it to pass. 37:3-5. And, you know, we hear people talk all the time, well, God will give you the delights of your heart. Well, this is the word. And I'm going to read it again. So that when someone pulls this out, you know that the first word of that scripture is this, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. But then there's also an edit, and do good. There's more to getting the desires of your heart. And the majority of it is to trust in the Lord and do good in the land. And verily thou shalt be fed. Delight. And then, you know, we got to trust in the Lord. We got to do good. We got to delight thyself also in the Lord. So you got to trust in the Lord. You got to do good. You got to delight thyself in the Lord. And then it says, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. But there's also another edit. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. It tells you twice to trust in the Lord, and he shall bring it to pass. So, you know, the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. But understand, you got to trust it. You got to do good. You got to delight in the Lord. You got to commit whatever it is to the Lord. And then you got to trust in him again. Commit thy way. You got to commit your way to the Lord. And trust also in him. And he shall bring it to pass. God loves us. And he wants the very best for us. Psalms 37:3-5. So when you hear that, know it's a song. But there's a whole lot of edits that come with it. That God's not going to give you just the desire of your heart without you doing some work. And that one, the one first thing that you have to do is trust in the Lord and do good. If nothing else, just remember, trust in the Lord and do good. So thou shalt dwell in the land. And verily thou shalt be filled. In other words, God will not allow you to go hungry. And that's spiritual hunger as well as physical hunger. Delight thyself also in the Lord. We got to love God. We got to love God with every part of our being. We got to get excited for the Lord. We got to get giddy for Jesus is what I like to call it. We got to have that desire to want to please God over anybody else. We want to be that woman and that man of God that delights in God. And, you know, just a word definition of delight is a high degree of pleasure or enjoyment, joy, rapture, something that gives great pleasure. To give great pleasure, satisfaction, or enjoyment, to please highly, pleasure, take pleasure, followed by it in an infinitive way. She delights in going for long walks in the country. Or the show delighted everyone. In other words, it gave joy. It gave that pleasure, satisfaction, enjoyment. And so, in other words, we got to enjoy ourselves in the Lord. We got to take pleasure in the Lord. We got to have joy and rapture in the Lord. God is our delight. You know, we have to take great pleasure in the Lord, also in the Lord. Enjoy time with God. And then it says, and he shall give you the desire of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Give yourself away so the Father can use you. And then that trust comes back again. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So we wonder why things are not going, because you're not trusting in God. You're not doing good. You're not delighting yourself in the Lord. You got to get giddy for Jesus. You got to smile on your face when you talk about how good God is. You got to glory in his name and in his presence. God is good. Whew, I thank God. And, you know, I have just one more of my 199 promises of God. And I have Exodus 23 and 25. And then we're getting into our word this morning. And it says, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Wow. We wonder how we get rid of stuff. Serve God. And watch God bless your bread. Bless your water. Take away sickness from the midst of thee. You wonder why there are certain churches that not one person in that church was struck by COVID. Not one person in that church has had to go through. And then you realize, because that church truly works and loves God, they delight in God. They get pleasure in his time, spending time with him in prayer and supplication. I tell you this, you will know a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church by the joy you feel when you walk through the doors. Keep God first, family, and watch him work in your life. And let's get into our word this morning. And all I can say is, whew, it's a good word. And our word that God gave me this morning is God is wise in heart and mighty in strength. God is wise in heart and mighty in strength. And it's a word from Job. But then when I went into Romans, you know, it talked about the fact that God is the one that formed us, you know, and that it's God who is the potter and we are his clay. And all we must do is trust in God. We've got to learn how to trust God in everything and know that he has got us covered. Know that he loves us more than we could ever love ourselves and more than we could ever imagine. So let's get started in the word this morning. And we thank God for it. The word of God is in Job chapter 9, verse 1 through chapter 10, verse 22. And for those that are just joining, moving forward experience, we are coming this year out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principle Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And it is a daily Bible study. And when we get finished with it, we will have read Genesis to Exodus. Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. So from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to Revelation chapter 22, verse 21, we will have read the entire Bible in 1 year. And that was my assignment for this year, is to read the entire word in a year and to share it. So this is what I would be doing if I was not on this show, is reading my word in 1 year. I'm sharing my daily time with God, with you. So as I move forward, you move forward, and we all move forward through the word of God. So thank you so much for joining me this morning, and let's get into our word. It says, then Job answered and said, truly, I know it is so, but how can a man be righteous before God? If one wished to contend with him, he could not answer him one time out of a thousand. God is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Can the church say amen? Who has hardened himself against him and prospered? He removes the mountains and they do not know, when he overturns them in his anger. He shakes the earth out of its place and its pillars tremble. He commands the sun and it does not rise. He seals off the stars. He alone spreads out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. He made the bear, Orion, and Palisade, chambers of the south. He does great things past finding out. Yes, wonders without number. If he goes by me, I do not see him. If he moves past, I do not perceive him. If he takes away, who can hinder him? Who can say to him, what are you doing? God will not withdraw his anger. The allies of the proud lie prostrate beneath him. How then can I answer him and choose my words to reason with him? For though I were righteous, I could not answer him. I would beg mercy of my judge. If I could and he answered me, I would not believe that he was listening to my voice. For he crushes me with a tempest and multiplies my wounds without cause. He will not allow me to catch my breath, but fills me with bitterness. If it is a manner of strength, indeed, he is strong. And if of justice, who will appoint my day in court? Though I were righteous, my own mouth would condemn me. Though I were blameless, it would prove me perverse. I am blameless, yet I do not know myself. I despise my life. It is all one thing. Therefore, I say, he destroys the blameless and the wicked. If the scourges slay suddenly, he laughs at the plight of the innocent. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covers the face of his judges. If it is not he, who else could it be? Now my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away and they see no good. They pass by like swift ships, like an eagle swooping on its prey. If I say I will forget my complaint, I will put off my sad face and wear a smile. I am afraid of all my sufferings. I know that you will not hold me innocent. If I am condemned, why then do I labor in vain? If I wash myself with snow water and cleanse my hands with soap, yet you will plunge me into the pit and my own clothes will bore me. For he is not a man as I am, that I may answer him and that we should go to court together. Nor is there any mediator between us who may lay his hand on us both. Let him take his rod away from me and do not let dread of him terrify me. then I would speak and not fear him. But it is not so with me. Job chapter 10. My soul loathes my life. I will give free course to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, do not condemn me. Show me why you contend with me. Does it seem good to you that you should oppress, that you should despise the work of your hands and smile on the counsel of the wicked? Do you have eyes of flesh, or do you see as man sees? Are your days like the days of a mortal man? Are your years like the days of a mighty man, that you should seek for my iniquity and search out my sin? Although you know that I am not wicked, and there is no one who can deliver from your hand. Your hands have made me and fashioned me an intricate unity, yet you would destroy me. Remember, I pray that you have made me like clay. And will you turn me into dust again? Did you not pour me out like milk and girdle me like cheese? Clothe me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bone and joint? You have granted me life and favor, and your spirit has preserved my spirit. And these things you have hidden in your heart. I know that this was with you. If I sin, then you mark me and will not acquit me of my iniquity. If I am wicked, woe to me. Even if I am righteous, I cannot lift up my head. I am full of disgrace. See my misery. If my head is exalted, you hurt me like a fierce lion. And again, you show yourself awesome. You renew your witness against me and increase your indignation toward me. Changes and war are ever with me. Why then have you brought me out of the womb? Oh, that I had perished and no eye had seen me. I would have been as though I had not been. I would have been carried from the womb to the grave. Are not my days few? Cease, leave me alone that I may take a little comfort before I go to the place from which I shall not return, to the land of darkness and the shadow of death, a land as darkness itself, as the shadow of death without any order, where even the light is like darkness. Now remember, Job has lost 10 kids. He's lost his wealth. And now he has lost his health. And when you say somebody's going through, he's going through. Why? Because a slimy, sneaky snake went up to heaven and asked permission to mess with Job. And it told God, put God in a spot where, you know, he only worships you because you've given him prosperity. He only, you know, I'm paraphrasing. You know, he only, you know, does what he does because, you know, you put a hedge of protection around him. You know, easing in there. And finally God says, you know what? But God is the one that mentioned this name. What about my servant Job when he was talking about folks? Because, you know, that's what the devil does. He talks about us, calls us everything but children of God, wants to mess with us, mess with whatever it is that you got going on, mess with your body, mess with your mind, mess with your spirit, mess with the external, your finances, your home, your children, all those things. That's what he does. Kill, steal, and destroy. So Job lost his kids. Has a contentious wife who told him, just curse God, die. And he's wanting, he's going through. And so when you go through, you say things, you do things. Folks may think you're crazy, but just imagine this man is covered in boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. If folks have had one boil, they are having a fit about to just roll over and die. So just imagine a boil from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, pulse, nasty, icky boil. I praise God I've never had one, but I've had to take care of someone who does and did. And it is not pleasant, and it's painful. And all you can do is pray for them. Continue to pray for God's healing power. And then they have to go and get them lanced at the hospital, and it is a horrible smell. I'm telling you, a boil is nothing to joke with. And Job was covered with them, laying in ashes and smoke and praying and speaking to God. And this is what Dr. Stanley says in his life lesson, Job 9:33, nor is there any mediator between us who may lay his hand on us both. Job recognized that while he had earned a reputation as a blameless man, yet as a sinner, he lacked all for his holy God. Job needed what we have, a sympathetic mediator between a holy God and a sinful people. Here's the good news. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5. And we're going to go there real quick. 1 Timothy 2:5. So please join me over there. And it says in 1 Timothy 2, and it says, pray for all men. And we're going to read the whole thing here. And it says, therefore, I exalt, first of all, that supplications, prayers, and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. But this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Verse 4, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 5, and this is the verse. And it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, our Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Verse 7, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. But I love verse 3, and it says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And that is from verse 2, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. So you have to pray and intercede for leadership. Leadership of the church, leadership of the cities and states and nations. We have to pray for our leaders. We have to lift up the name of Jesus wherever we go. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. We have to pray, intercede, and know that there is a mediator between us and God, and we stand as righteous only when by faith we stand in the righteousness of Christ. Job chapter 10, life lessons. Job 10:12. You have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit. Even in the middle of their bitter complaints, those with a genuine heart for God continue to hope in his grace and remember his many blessings. God sustains them even when it feels as though he attacks them. God is always there, even when we go through He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's always there with us. Like, he is that kind of God. I could say this. He loves us. He loves us so much. And all we can do is love each other back. And then Job chapter 10, verse 20. Leave me alone that I may take a little comfort. Leave me alone. You know, sometimes you're like, Lord, Lord, I'm going through. Can you give me just a minute? Can you give me some time alone? For Lord, I can't handle it by myself. Can you help me, God? You know, we want God's grace. We need his mercy toward us. We need God to just come in and take a seat. And Job was going through it, because when you go to verse 20, are not my days few? Cease, leave me alone that I may take a little comfort before I go to the place from which I shall not return, to the land of darkness and the shadow of death. Job's like, before I die, can you just give me a little comfort? You know, when we feel most discouraged and worn out, we may wish that God would just leave us alone. But thank God, he never does. He promises us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you know, that's one of my scriptures. I love it, out of Joshua, but it's also in Hebrews. You know, and in Hebrews 13, it says this. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You got to have that in your spirit when you're going through. But one thing, there's some edits always in the word of God. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Don't be looking up. I wish I had what she had. When you don't know what they're going through, you don't know what it took for them to have what they have. You don't know what they may have lost to have what they have. You don't know their story. So don't look at folks and covet what they're doing. Covet what they have. Covet their assignments. Covet their clothes, their cars, their homes, their children, whatever. Don't covet. All you see is the surface. You don't know what's going on underneath. You don't know what is going on in that home. You know, there are folks that see couples at church and like, oh, they're so cute. They got the one most wonderful children. And you don't know the reason why she wears long sleeves is because he's beating the tar out of her at home. And the reason the kids are so good is because they're terrified of their father. You don't know their story. And then there are some that are just happy people. But don't get it twisted. Don't ask for something somebody else has, because you don't know what price they paid to have whatever it may be. You know, folks looking at folks, oh, they drive this and they do that and they da-da-da. And you don't know what they're going through. You don't know what trauma they may live through. Don't ever covet anybody else's anything. And I'm going to see it one more time before we get into our Psalms word. It says, let your conduct be without tent with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And that is what we stand on. The Lord is our helper. The Lord is with us wherever we go. He will never leave us or forsake us, because he said so in his word. And I trust God, and I trust his word. Because God is not a man that he should lie. Psalms 93, verses 1 through 5, and it says, the Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. What is our word for this morning? What did Job say? God is wise in heart and mighty in strength. He has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. And the word that Dr. Stanley gave us is from verse 1, and it says again, the Lord reigns, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed, he has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. And Dr. Stanley says this, we are children of a sovereign God who has the power and the wisdom to make happiness everything he desires to be. I'm sorry, to make it happen. I want happiness. So I think I'm putting me in there. But it says, we are children of a sovereign God who has the power and the wisdom to make happen everything he desires to do. We just read that in our word. Wins, and no one can derail his promises. That's why we can trust him. And again, what God has for you is for you, and it's irrevocable. Nobody can take your blessings, and don't allow them to cheat you out of them. God has given you what he wants you to have. Why? Because he loves you like that. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 22 and 23. Do not rob the poor because he is poor, nor oppress the afflicted at the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause and plunder the soul of those who plunder them. I tell you, be careful how you treat the least among us, because when you get to that point, understand, you might be a billionaire today, but you can be a pauper tomorrow. All it takes is a loss of one thing, your company, the loss of your stock portfolio, the loss of your health. There are so many things that can affect a person. But I tell you this, how you treat the least among us, God will give it right back to you. You know, and that's a word out there for the evictors out there, want to just, because they want to do this and they want to do that. And I understand that some are going through. But to evict someone, you see that they're on their last, down and out. You better believe God will not bless that. To create lies and confusion, God will not bless that. To tell big lies and try to make them into little truth, God will not bless that. We as men and women of God have got to get our heads out of the dirt. We cannot be ostriches bearing our head. We got to be alive and alert, because the enemy is, what did he say? Walking to and fro across the earth, looking for things to do, looking for devilment to create. Don't get it twisted. Romans chapter 9, verses 16 through 33. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power. I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore, he had mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardened. We wonder why some folks are just mean. They are just mean. They got a hard heart. It's because God gave it to them for a purpose and a reason. And it says, you will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, oh man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? And we all understand there are folks right now who are wondering, why did you make me like this? Why do I have the problems that I have? Why do I have this situation that I'm going through? Why did you make me like this? And then it goes on to say, does not the potter have power over the clay, same lump, to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? Y'all catch that? As we vilify and talk about folks in whatever communities they may be in, to just stop and think that the clay that they are had a potter. And it says again, does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God wanted to show his wrath to make his power known, endured with much long suffering, the vessel of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he has prepared beforehand for glory, whom he called out of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people. Y'all caught that, right? And her beloved who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God. Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, unless the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we would have become like Sodom, and we would have been made like Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel pursuing the law of righteousness has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. But they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. And a life lesson from Romans chapter 9, it says, whom he wills, he hardens. And we got a few scriptures to hit from this, so get your word out. And we're going to hit quite a few scriptures with this word this morning. And we're going to be going to 2 Peter chapter 3. And it says this from Dr. Stanley. We know that God wants all to come to repentance. And we're going to go to 2 Peter. We're going to go to 2 Peter. Chapter 9, verse 9. And it says, but I'm going to go up to chapter 8, to verse 8 first. It says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then it goes on to tell us, how is it then that God hardens people's hearts? Understand that Pharaoh had 5 opportunities during the first 5 plagues to repent. Yet we see repeatedly that Pharaoh hardens his heart. You know, and when we go over to Exodus, And there's, really, time is not permitting me to go to all those scriptures, but if you'd like to look up the hardening of the heart, look in Exodus chapter 8, verse 32, Exodus chapter 7, verse 13 and 23, Exodus 8, verses 15 and 19, and Exodus 9, verse 7. And it says, it was not until the sixth plague that God gave Pharaoh over to his sinfulness. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, Exodus 9 and 12. And we're going to go over there real quick to Exodus chapter 9. Because I like to have everything, and, you know, what God has put me in, into its context. You got to have the context of it all. And so we're going to go to Exodus chapter 9 real quick. And understand that God, in chapter 9, you got plague number 5, which is the livestock disease. Plague number 6, which is the boils. Plague number 7 is hail. Plague number 8 is the locust. Plague number 9 is the darkness. It's the death of all the firstborn. Now, Pharaoh did have time to get it right, to repent, to let God's people go. But because of his own hard heart, God just gave him a harder heart. And this is what it says. And we're going to the sixth plague, starting at verse number 8 in chapter 9. Actually, we'll start at verse number 6. And it says in verse 6, and we're right after the fifth plague. Are we about to start the fifth plague? And it says this, so the Lord did this thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died, but of the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died. Y'all caught that right. Then Pharaoh sent, and indeed not even one of the livestock of the Israelites was dead. But the heart of Pharaoh became hard, and he did not let the people go. Verse 8 of chapter 9 says, so the Lord said to Moses there, take for yourself 10 pools of ashes from a furnace, and let Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. And it will become fine dust in all the land of Egypt, and it will cause boils that break out in sores on men and beasts throughout all the land of Egypt. Then they took ashes from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh. And Moses scattered them toward heaven, and they caused boils that break out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians, on all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And it says, the Lord is God, and he reserves the right to decide when someone has rejected him. You know, we cannot reject God. You know, there are those out there that will claim to be card-carrying atheists, you know, card-carrying agnostic. They will, you know, be card-carrying, don't believe, can't believe, won't believe, hate God because God did this, that, and the other thing. Don't want to talk about God. Don't want to make their life with God. Instead, they reject him. And if we go over to John chapter 3, it says, Jesus answered and said to them, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? You know, we're talking about Nicodemus, because Nicodemus was a preacher. Yeah, he should know everything there was to know. But it goes on to tell us in the word, it says, most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. That's a word. And I just read John chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. And our last thing from Dr. Stanley is molded by the master. And when we go back to chapter 9, verse 20, and it says this, but indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? And Dr. Stanley says this, when the potter takes the lump of clay, he knows what he wants to do with it, whether he wants to create a beautiful vase, bowl, or pitcher. He already knows what it's going to become. Therefore, he takes that lump of clay, puts it on the pottery wheel, and begins to shape it. However, the only way the potter can form this piece of clay into something beautiful is by getting it in the center of the wheel. I learned that one day when I went down to a pottery house, as I watched people molding their clay creations, one of the artisans told me, I have to get it just right in the center of the wheel, because if I don't, I can't mold it correctly. One of the reasons God is not able to make us into the people he wants us to be is that we rebel. Like, we insist on doing things our way and get out of the center of his will. However, if we insist on questioning and contradicting him, we'll never experience God's best. And it goes on to tell us the first thing. It says, God is daily molding us through our circumstances, and we need to trust him. Our faith in him is absolutely crucial. We just talked about faith this morning and trusting God. Therefore, there are six words to describe our master potter, that will help us when our faith falters. Number one, get your pens and pencils out. Number one is power. The truth is that God has power in our life because he is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He can do anything he chooses to do. However, God gave us a will of our own because he wants us to love him freely. Now, there is no such thing as an absolutely free will, because God is in ultimate control over all things. He allows our free will up to a certain point. However, the master potter has the ultimate power over the day. God has a specific purpose in mind for each of us, and he created us with qualities that will fulfill the purpose. Number three, plan. God has a plan. His plan is to mold us and work daily to conform us to the likeness of his son, Jesus Christ, throughout our life. Number four is patience. God never hurries. That's because spiritual maturity is not something that can be rushed. It continues on even when we are older. We cannot rush it, because becoming like Jesus Christ involves a lifetime process of learning the ways of God. Number five, perseverance. We must remember something extremely important here. When the potter finds imperfections in the clay, he puts it back on the wheel and reshapes it. He never throws it away. God never discards us. He will never throw us away. The all-powerful, loving hand of God, our Father, has the power to overcome any obstacle in our life. God can make us into something extraordinary. Number six, personal. God does not put all people in one big lump. He forms each one of us individually. He can do that because he is infinite in power, wisdom, and love. He knows exactly what he has planned for each one of us. Therefore, trust the master potter. Trust the one who is powerful, who has a purpose and a plan for you, who is patient with you and perseveres with you, and who loves you deeply and personally. As he molds you, learn from him. Cling to him. He is molding you into the most wonderful vessel for his work and creating a future for you that is better than you could ever imagine. You're a masterpiece waiting to happen. So submit to his touch. And again, a molding process. It says, therefore, there are 6 words to describe our master potter that will help us when our faith falters. The first is power, purpose, plan, patience, perseverance, and personal. God's got you covered from the crowns of your heads to the soles of your feet. Trust in God, the master potter. For again, as Job said, is wise in heart and mighty in strength. And before we get out of here this morning, a word from our sister in Christ. And as always, it's a good word. It's always a great word from Sister Carolyn. Keep her in prayer for traveling grace and mercy as she has traveled this weekend. We thank God for her being back safely. And what a word for us. And the word for this morning is this. Good morning. The Lord knows everything about us and still loves us. There is nothing that can remove us from God's presence or his love. Have a motivated Monday. And again, she never knows what I'm teaching or preaching. And she always comes with a word that just wraps it all up for us. But we know that God is the potter. We are the clay. He has power and he has strength. He's wise in heart and mighty in strength. And we also understand that from our New Testament word that God formed each and every one of us. And I say to myself, God formed us all for such a time as this. Because we as men and women of God have got to start speaking truth to power. And as Sister Carolyn says one more time, the Lord knows everything, big bold capitals, everything about us and still loves us. There is nothing, and I say that boldly, nothing that can remove us from God's presence or his love. As a potter has a special place in his heart for every piece that he makes. You are special to God. He loves you, and he wants the best for you. So please keep God first in all you do, and know God is wise in heart and mighty in strength, and he loves you more than anything. Have a blessed day, family, and as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee, while we are absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. And don't get weary about the rain, because know that where we are is raining. And I just say, the rain is nothing here but to cleanse the earth. So thank God for the rain. Thank God for your life. Thank God for giving you another day that he has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Have a blessed day, family. It is, as we say on Moving Forward, a wrap. Why? Because it's time to go to work. So let's go to work for God and have a wonderful day. Be blessed and know there's only one God, one mediator, and he is Christ Jesus. Have a great day. It's a wrap.